This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world, talking with fellow human design reflectors as they experiment and navigate their unique design. Today's beautiful conversation is with Nikki. Nikki is a 6-2 reflector with the cross of refinement. She's also a little powerhouse of a human being, has recently just soft launched this amazing project called Mentwell, which is a digital gift card for health and wellness services, where the receiver gets to choose how they redeem it. But we'll get into that later. Nikki and I had the pleasure, well, I had the pleasure actually of meeting Nikki last year in person. And I really love to get into your journey over this year, friend, because it's nearly been a year. We met up in October. So welcome, firstly, and thank you for being here.
Thanks, Annie, and thanks to your community as well. I'm so excited to be on this podcast to kind of delve into how HD has kind of changed my life. So again, thank you so much for having me.
Welcome. And as we do, we take it back. Tell us your story. Like, how did you find human design, or human design find you?
So about a year and a half ago, I decided to go on a trip away for at least a year. And through that time, I'll give you an idea of what the plan was. So at first I was in a van for 3 months up the east coast of Australia, spent a lot of time alone, a lot of time journaling. I started writing a book, wrote 40,000 words, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew that it felt right to do what I was doing at the time. And from there, I went to Bali. I started working on Mentwell and found a bit of a team to get the project going. From there, I went to Europe. I went to Turkey, back to Bali. And that's where human design found me. So I did my yoga teacher training in Ubud. And I met this amazing woman. She's Argentinian. Her name was Sofita. And she told me at the end of the 2-week process of doing YTT that, Nikki, like, you kind of did things differently to everyone else in YTT. You know, every time that you spoke for everyone. And it was almost as if you could ask questions that everyone was thinking. And this blew my mind, because I haven't had that many people who have been mirrors to me in my life, or not knowingly anyway. And this started making me question. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's really interesting. I knew that I was a bit different, but okay. And it was Sofita who said, you should look into human design because I think you might be a reflector. And surely enough, she pinned it. So as I think a lot of people on your podcast say, like, I just went down a rabbit hole, like down the spiral staircase into the depths of human design and finding out about my gates and my channels and who I was and maybe who I was supposed to be too. And certainly a lot of ideas to do with being a reflector really resonated, and things did just solidify. Everything made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really glad that you said that. Like, it is such a deep dive, and sometimes it's a deep dive and then you pull back out for a while and you go away and then you come back in. And I know when you and I were chatting, you were like, tell me all the information, give me all the information now. And talk to me about how that information has been, because you kind of now get it, don't you, that it's a lived experience. Like, you can read all you can, but can you share with us how you implemented it, or how, you know, human design kind of like entered your actual inner body?
Yeah, sure. I think the first way that maybe I fully received the information was an admittance to myself that I had done things really differently to everyone else around me. That I was definitely a feeling person, and I was someone who kind of usually just knew how to do things. You know, I had all these people around me who were super studious and had to read bucket loads of books and had to study. And honestly, I was the kid who read 3 pages of a book in year 12 and kind of went, yeah, I get the general gist, and then nailed the essay. Right. So, and I can understand how that was frustrating for people. I always kind of knew what I wanted my path to be too. And I think these memories of exactly what I'm talking about, this knowingness, if you will, and also an ability to read people and find out more about people very easily and connect with people, if that makes sense, was, one of my superpowers throughout my whole life. And yeah, it really brought up a lot of memories from childhood that, yeah, I was a bit different and that was okay.
And on that note, take us back to the childhood that you had, like little Nikki, like growing up. And I think that's, I say this a lot to people, when we find these things out about ourselves, regardless of human design or any other modality, we often take that journey back and go, oh my gosh, this explains a lot of my childhood, my adolescence, my early 20s, or however old you are. I don't know how old you are, but you know, for generally speaking, can you take us back to little Nikki?
Yeah, for sure. So there are these two photos of me when I was probably 2 and 3 years old, and I have almost like, I'm allowed to swear on here, aren't I, Annie?
Fuck yes.
Excellent.
Aussie hour again. Aussie hour. I should
go. Totally. So these two photos show me as a 2 and maybe 3 year old with resting bitch face. And it's sort of, I look at these photos and I'm like, this kid knew that something was really wrong in the household, that something was deep and dark and people just weren't doing what they were supposed to do towards one another. That's really how I look at these photos now. So as a result, I can safely say that my household growing up was pretty tumultuous. There was a fine line between, you know, mum and dad fighting, for example, to trying to keep the white picket fence approach as well, that the facade that everything was okay. And then I had an older sister who was 9 years older than me, who I never got along with. And we don't even talk these days. So I was this kid who was just kind of going, I'll play in the background and I'll just make my own way through life, to be honest, while mum and dad were dealing with divorces and separation and arguments and everything else. And so that's exactly what I did. I had this kind of autonomy about me. I liked to learn, even though I didn't really like the school system. So I found my own ways to navigate school, sports, extracurricular activities. And as a result, I can safely say a lot of people around me just kind of believed that I was going to be fine. Meanwhile, I was kind of swallowing everyone else's misery and everyone else's difficulties and going, why can't you guys get it together, especially at home? Like, I can see that mum's hurt. I can see that dad's not communicating effectively, that he's also hurting because of his work that he's chosen to go down the line of. And that there was this focus on money and wealth rather than community and caring for one another. So yeah, it was a difficult childhood, to be honest, but I can see how those experiences have kind of built and shaped me to be who I am now.
Yeah. And it is a rough ride, like navigating back through that and just giving yourself acceptance, giving yourself grace, and even giving others grace and knowing they didn't know. Because you're a 6'2", you know, they say in human design, you are navigating that first part of your life as a third line, which is that experiential line. How have you felt that in your body? How have you felt that now that you understand that?
I think this was really highlighted in my 20s. So definitely partying a lot, hanging out with the wrong kinds of crowds, not having a really close group of people either, and thinking that it was okay to be blatantly honest on two-day benders without any sort of home to go to. I thought that was normal, but no, it's not normal. And I guess experimenting with work as well. So I started a PR and digital marketing agency during a really traumatic period of my life where I was pretty much stuck inside at 21 and 23 years old. And work became my focus for sure. But in terms of experimenting, I mean, I was working in PR and digital marketing across multitudes of industries, focusing on hospitality, but I was like, I can do this for everyone, you know. At the same time, I was doing photography when I wasn't stuck inside. And, you know, finding myself in bizarre scenarios, like working with Susan Sarandon and Goldie Hawn, and I was Snoop Dogg's PR chick for a day. Like, these experiences would just come out of nowhere for me. So there's been a lot of experimentation in my 20s for sure. And to be honest, I believe it's reflective magic. Like these experiences really do just come to me. And you have to go for the ride pretty much.
Yeah. And it does sound like you just surrendered to enjoying the ride. A lot of us, I think we can get like really like stuck and rigid in that. And we're just like, no, we're going to fight. We're going to fight. And then things just don't flow. And it just sounds to me like you just went, oh, well, fuck it. I'm surrendering to whatever process this is. And look where, you know, it landed you in all these beautiful, unique positions.
Very unique.
That you have now. Because now you're on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel? And they say that you're on the roof now. Hit 30, bang, you're on the roof.
Oh, man, it's been a transition to say the least. After, like I said, 10 plus years of sort of partying, not looking after myself, to meeting a woman in particular who I think changed my life. She, again, it was that someone being a mirror to me. She kind of said, wow, when you're in groups, people really kind of miss you, don't they? And I was like, what? What are you, what about? I thought I was a social butterfly, but no, it was 100% true. And I always knew that I was uncomfortable in groups of more than about two people. So that started my journey to really being on the roof and going, okay, let's just go away from everything that's happened. That was the year away. And kind of going, okay, there are lessons to be learned here. What are they? And through a hell of a lot of meditation, a hell of a lot of yoga, I can safely say my life is upside down in comparison to where it was in my 20s, or upside up, maybe, you know.
I like that.
Yeah. I feel super observational now, both of myself, my experience, and other people's journeys as well. I'm super addicted to anything trauma and healing, for sure. And I know that my purpose is to help others through my own lived experience. So those are the key things that have really come out of, I guess, now being on the roof. But it's a hard transition. It's like a smack to the face, I tell you.
Did you know that about, like, you've just sort of explained your whole incarnation cross in a nutshell? Did you know that before human design? Did you kind of start to feel that?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think in probably my mid-20s, I know that a change is coming.
Mm.
I know that it's around the corner. And again, I think that was through observation, but also an internal knowingness as well, sort of seeing people act as adults and me going, why aren't I acting as a proper adult? I'll say that in inverted commas. What I mean by that is people were just interacting differently to how I was. And I kind of wanted to be at that place. But I knew that there was more to do. More experimentation, I guess. Yes, I definitely had a knowingness that it was coming. In what form, why, and how, I had no idea. Mm. That knowingness is a real thing for a reflector, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I love that a lot of your purpose is about fighting for the underdog, for lack of better words, you know, fighting through purpose. Gate 38 in your chart is very prominent, friend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good that you've kind of felt into that without being told it, because you kind of feel it and you know it, and it's a part of your purpose, and it's a beautiful thing. Because we were talking about this even in October last year, we were sort of talking about it, but it might have kind of gone over your head at the time. Because someone can talk until you're blue in the face, but you've got to kind of like take your time.
Yeah. Let with it integrate. That,
yeah. With that second line, that withdrawal, that needing to have a little bit more of a quieter approach, how's that felt for you?
So difficult. So, so difficult. The reason why it's been difficult for me is because in terms of my public persona, I can be sort of out there. Like we were talking about being Leos, for example, the big hair and the loving human energy and loving being in kind of groups of people, but it's exhausting. And at the same time, I know that my home life in particular is the complete opposite of that. I'm so quiet. No, and I love to be in my own space, and that process of letting go of energy is just so vital to me maintaining sort of my special sauce, if you will.
Yeah.
And the process of knowing when I need to be alone versus when it's okay to be out and about, to preparing to having to be out and about in amongst a lot of energy, is a really tricky one to navigate.
Yeah. Have you found during that process that, again, you were saying, like, even in your 20s, you know, partying and going out, whereas now there's a certain time, there's a certain point, either one, you don't want to go out if you're invited to something, or two, you get there and you're like, yeah, I got to go. Like, you're starting to feel that transition of just going, this is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out of environments. Can you discern that a little bit better now?
Absolutely. And the funny thing is that a lot of those spaces were spaces that I spent a lot of time in my 20s. So it's confusing. Yeah. It's find new spaces. And like a yoga studio for me is my happy place now, whereas before it was at a festival with 50,000 people, you know. So it's a really confusing transition, but I definitely feel it more in my body now. I practice every day to try and get into my body so that I do have that receptivity, that sensitivity of what's right and what's wrong. But sort of relearning in a very short period of time of what's good and what's not for you is a difficult thing to go through, but yeah, it's kind of a fun journey, and I know that it's the right way, and that's the main thing.
It's so true. It's like, it's difficult, but it's fun, because it's fun when you're on the outside of it, but it's difficult at the time. And you just kind of go, the more you kind of do it, the more you go, I know that it's going to feel fun after I get through this next shit show.
Exactly. You're kind of like, when is it? Come on, bring it on.
And I feel that the evolution of us as humans, but because this is a reflector specific podcast, we're going to speak to the reflector. But it's like that ever-changingness of us can be met with a lot of uncertainty, where we just go, oh, we're told we're inconsistent. It's just like the uncertainty is that we don't embrace that fluidity, for lack of better words, you know, that ever-changing. And just speaking for me, I've actually learned to embrace it now, and I'm just like, what exciting things am I going to do today? How does that feel for you?
Exciting. I love it. I love that I'm so able to both work with my own transitions, for sure, but when a new opportunity arises, that I can sink into it so easily.
Yeah.
So for example, you know, I grew up in Melbourne, hustle and bustle, like I mentioned, a lot of hospitality, a lot of music industry festivals, big groups of people. And only recently have I found myself spending time up near Tweed Heads, with a lot more space, a lot more natural environment around, a lot of beauty around, and my ability to go from, you know, the hustle and bustle of city life to working on a banana farm is so instantaneous and so easy. And I, in that world or in that transition, I've even questioned myself. I'm like, wow, I look different. I feel different. I interact differently.
Yeah.
So no, it's fun. And I think that's the blessing, if you will, of being so interchangeable and so much of that chameleon kind of character. I think it means that as reflectors, we have a really unique story. And for those who are enabling themselves to flow with whatever comes their way, it means that we have these really interesting stories to tell too.
Yeah.
So no, I think it's a great thing.
How are the friendships or people in your life that are in your close orbit, even your family, have you inducted them into the cult? Have you started to put your feelers out there, and have they sort of said to you, oh, you're ever changing? Like, can you share with us a little bit about your posse?
Yeah, sure. So I mentioned earlier that I've always interacted with individuals better than I have in groups. And as a result, there is one woman who came into my life through the agency. She's a graphic designer, also Argentinian. And her and I always had this beautiful friendship, and we never really knew why. It was a creative friendship. We kind of understood each other. We could delve deep into subjects. And when human design came into my life and I asked her to do her chart too, she came out as a reflector as well. I know. So it was one of the best days, I think, because her finding out about her chart has meant that she's been able to sink into her knowingness, into her feelingness, her innate abilities in general. And we've been able to sort of reflect off each other about our experiences now that we have this information. In addition to that, Mum, for example, she's a manifester, and she's always had a bit of an intuitive ability. And she was the one that told me when I was younger, you know, you've got the thing, in inverted commas. I never knew what this was. I never really understood what she meant. All I knew is that the rest of the family thought she was crazy. No, she definitely wasn't. She was the one with the knowingness. But she gave me a compliment recently when I launched Mentwell, where she said, "Nikki, thank you so much for caring so much about people." And oh man, that just, out of all the compliments that could be given, that just really took it home. And I don't think anyone's given me a compliment that has meant so much to me.
That just gives me, I feel that.
I know.
Oh, that got me.
A big one.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh. And sorry. That was good. Because you know what? When we grow up with these people, and you were just saying that, like, you know, everyone says, oh, she was crazy or whatever, she was this. And even you might have struggled with that at the time. And did you start to give her a little bit of that grace after Human Design, or started before that, but even more so after going, oh my God, my mum's a manifester. She's on the outside like me. Did you go through that journey?
Absolutely. But I think it was the reverse. It was that Mum always had an awareness that there was something else out there, that there was these coincidences that had come into her life, that or a knowingness of how to do life for ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, she had this knowingness. I also had that knowingness, but I didn't know what to call it. I didn't know how to navigate it. Yeah. But when we had that moment of going, oh, okay, I actually potentially have even more of it than Mum does, that allowed her to sink into her intuitive ability. So to give you an idea, Mum was the president of her Rotary Club recently. Now, you can imagine these rooms are filled with sort of 70 to 80-year-old white-haired men who have been in the club just because they get a free meal, okay? And Mum's come in as the amazing, powerful force that she is, going, I'm going to president this group of people, right? Now, she got to a point where she started a speech on a full moon, and her tech wasn't working. And she actually opened her statement by saying, look, everyone, it's a full moon. That's why our tech isn't working. And I knew that this was going to happen because this song came onto the radio about werewolves. Can you imagine the look of these guys' faces coming back to her? And yet she just flew with it. She's like, look, this is my story. This is my life. This is my truth. Take it or leave it. Incredible.
I love her.
Oh,
wow. Good on her. You know, there's something that happens when you get older and your filter just comes off and you're just like, I am me and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that.
Watching Mum go through that process is one of the most beautiful things I've ever experienced, to be honest.
It's gorgeous. And what's her profile, if you mind me asking? Do you know?
I think she is maybe a 5-1 manifester.
Yeah.
Don't hold me to it.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I want to take us back to this reflective friend of yours, because it's so healing to be in this space. I bang on about this all the time. It is just so healing to navigate this journey with somebody who kind of gets you. Even if you're not the same, it's like someone who gets you. Do you know their profile?
No.
Putting you on the spot.
Good. I know.
It's fine.
That's the worst thing about my brain. I'm so good at the larger topics. And details kind of go missing. Sorry, no, I don't. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I was thinking more curiosity as to, you know, you're a 6'2", and there's sometimes I've just found as well, not always, this is generalizing here, but certain types kind of always sort of mesh together. It's just this fluidity, like a 5-1 and a 2-4 generally always can kind of work together, because the 5 is and the 2's kind of just balancing that out. And anyway, things like that, 6 and a 2. I don't know.
I'll have to get back to you about that one. But
yeah, it's a beautiful journey. But anyway, we digress. Oh, I love that. And you know what? This journey that you've been on, Nikki, this whole beautiful life journey has led you to where you're where you're at now with what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I want you to talk, I want you to share with us what Meant Well is.
Sure. So I'll preface this by saying, working with the agency for 11 odd years, that I had some super luxurious things happen or experiences to be a part of. One of the last experiences before COVID was being on a luxury yacht on Sydney Harbour Bridge with influencers drinking champagne out of bottles, right? It was an amazing experience for anyone who maybe hadn't done that before, but I had been doing it for 11 years. Yeah. And I had this light bulb moment of going, why are we gifting people these experiences when we don't even have our basic needs met? It doesn't make sense. And that's where the idea for Meant Well came from. So we are an online gift giving platform, a gift card system specifically for mental health and wellness services, where the person receiving the card gets to choose how they redeem it. And what I've done is put together a database of all different types of trauma and healing related services. So that's anything from the Western world of GPs and psychologists, et cetera, to the Eastern side of Reiki kinesiology, energy healing, through to what I'm going to call as maintenance services, which are yoga and martial arts, to name a couple. And we want to teach people that these services are actually designed to be used in different ways. Okay. So you can't expect talking to someone through a psychologist to do all of the work for you. It's just not going to do it. There's more to the process of healing. And that means feeling through, that means moving energy, that means thinking about mind, body, spirit. And I believe personally that if this message gets out there, that yes, trauma does indeed live in the body, and that there's a process for finding healing through these services, that we will find people will be much happier in their lives, much, much happier.
Yeah. I love this. Long are the days when years ago, I know I'm randomly saying this, you know, 15 years ago, I used to give my dad a gift card every year for a subscription to a truck magazine or something that he was interested in. And I'm like, wow, this is the new world of gifting a yearly subscription to having a monthly yoga class or some Reiki or kinesiology. I love this, Nikki. Oh, powerhouse you are.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, really excited. We've only just launched too, so
yes,
getting businesses on board and getting people just gifting to one another in general and getting comfortable with the idea is where we're at.
And are we Australian based or are we internationally based?
We're Australian based at the moment.
Yep.
With, you know, an endeavor to suddenly be in the US and UK within 3 years.
Absolutely, you will. Let's go. I wanted to ask you another question about the reflectorism, and even in this business, now that you've brought that in, like, I guess the first question is, how do you navigate this openness that you have? You were just saying there about being on the yacht. I've found that a lot with us. There's a lot of ideas that come in. It's not very often that we can action on it. And I think that's when you know that something's really like lit a fire in your ass, because you just, you've kept going with that idea. Have you found that that has often been a part and still is, where you just get these influxes of ideas?
Hugely. Yeah, absolutely. Especially spending that time on the farm near Tweed Heads, as I mentioned. You have to call them downloads. You just have to. I don't know what it is about being in those natural environments, but those downloads are very, very real.
Yeah.
Very real. They are not necessarily just to do with, I guess, business ideas, not necessarily just about personal life. It's more about joining the dots and making connections and making meaning as to how people process, what people are like, what their trauma means to them, how, you know, thinking about really big topics about how to relate to one another in general, what empathy means, like these big topics, what connection is, how to create it.
Yeah.
I love it personally, and I have to write them down these days, because I think a lot of wisdom and a lot of questions and wisdom, I will say, come out of these downloads. And that's just a part of how I operate.
Yeah. I've always had this dream that you could have an ideas bank. I think I shared this with you last year. Have an ideas bank. It's just literally a database of people going, here's this download that I've had. This is a whole business that's set up. This is how you do this. This is this. And then it just sits there. And then people just go, yeah, I can actually do that. Because I find that I have all these amazing ideas. I can't action all of those, or nor am I supposed to. I think that's a very much of the reflector sitting at the back of the village, just being the wise sage who people come to and say, hey, I'm a bit lost in my life. And that person, you know, can sort of say, well, have you thought about doing this? Do you have that? I have that all the time. And I know that most of us do.
All of the time. Yeah, yeah. For sure. The other thing about openness, if you don't mind me swaying this way a little bit, through what I will call is a bit of a deconditioning process while I was away for that year, I realized the power of potentially what our openness can achieve in terms of sampling others.
Yeah.
Now, I know that this might be a little bit occult for some people, but in terms of experiencing other people's superpowers, I can safely say that through my openness, I've been able to experience that.
Yeah.
So for example, with one particular partner, I had this experience where they were at a yoga class, so kilometers away, right? I was at their house working, and I felt something on my back kind of do this. And I was like, what is that? That's the strangest thing that I've ever come across. And when they got home, I mentioned my experience. And they said that, yeah, in their family, they have a referred pain ability from one another to one another. And that apparently I must have been tapping into that. Okay. So there is something very special about the deconditioning process for reflectors. This isn't the only experience I've had with experiencing other people's superpowers or other people's, I don't know what you couldn't call it, their special source, their magic, whatever you may call it.
Yeah.
But it's a really powerful thing. And that's something I'm really interested in these days.
Yes. I have experienced that as well, and to the point sometimes just sharing a personal experience here. I thought it, this was years ago, thought it was me, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I have this new ability. But then when that person kind of left the scene for a while, it fizzled out, and all of a sudden it was like, dum, 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 dum. I ran out of petrol or, you know, gas. And it was like, I look back now, because at the time I felt really low in myself. I'm like, what happened? You know, what happened? Now I can look back. This was 10 years ago. Now I can look back and go, that wasn't yours. That was theirs. And you just matched their frequency and took it on. I'm like, oh, that's clever, but wasn't clever to not realize it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. But doesn't that lead you to think like how lucky we are to be able to sample people that deeply?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I can sit on a train now. Years ago, I struggled to be on trains, and now I just sit on trains and I just can sometimes close my eyes. And I know not everyone can do that, but I think the more that we sit in ourselves, the more we know that aspect of us. So, yeah. And I just want to let everyone know another thing about Nikki's chart is that she has a completely open spleen and a completely open solar plexus. So there's a lot happening out here. Complete openness, friend.
Yeah.
Which, again, people will say, oh, that's more conditioning. But I like to, what you said, I like to flip the switch and just go, no, that's a superpower. That's the more of the magnificence. I know for me, I've got a completely open G, and I've always felt, oh, okay, well, I'm looking for more love, or I'm looking for more identity. But the fact is, the more I drop into it, the more how much love I have to give, because it's not around anything. So out here. Anyway, we're going off on tangents. We always do. I want to ask you a question to share with others, if you don't mind, of just your journey, advice, wisdom, whatever word you want to use to give to your fellow reflector brothers and sisters as they navigate this journey? What is something that you would like to share with people or introduce them to a way of thinking?
For sure. For reflectors specifically, I want to say, please do yourself a favor and at some point in your life, go away and be with yourself for a long period of time. Because through that process, through the start of what we can only call as some sort of a deconditioning process, you can really drop into your innate abilities and how we are quite unique in terms of how we connect with people and the internal wisdom that we do have. And I feel like there is a power to this knowingness. And I feel like if we were able to come together more often through retreats, through general community, that perhaps these messages that we have and this internal knowingness can actually help people in a huge way. But without circulating these messages, I think a lot of reflectors in particular will be where I was, which is just confused about why I do things differently. But it's okay to come together and have this acknowledgement that, yeah, we do things differently, but it's a superpower. How do we use these superpowers to help people en masse, really? That's where my head's at the moment anyway.
And did you find, I'm going to throw you on the spot here, did you find that, you were just saying there, because I agree with you wholeheartedly, and let's create that, please. Let's all band together here in Australia to have our own retreats and conferences. But anyway, did you find that the information on the internet when you found this helped you or not, or hindered you, or did you feel that it was, again, I'm throwing you on the spot here, did you feel that it was just rehashed shit, that now that you're kind of in this experiment, you know?
Yeah. So repetitive to begin with. It was the same sort of rhetoric from site to site, and that was frustrating for someone who wants to know more, you know, who wants to go down the rabbit hole deeper than what the internet will allow me to. In saying that, even in the short period of time, like we're talking the space of a year of me really exploring what being a reflector means and what human design is, that there is a lot more information already out there, which is great. It's awesome to see. But the thing that's missing is personal lived experience conversation, like we're doing now, in terms of what it means to be a reflector, what it means to be a manifester, how all of this guidance that we receive through human design has actually been reflected in or, I guess, explored in our own lives. That's what's missing.
Yeah. Yep.
And if anyone wants to start more blogs, more, you know, community-based websites where we can have this conversation, I think it's a super important one, and a lot of movement can happen for a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for saying that. It has been such an honor chatting with you, and I'm going to put all the links in for Meant Well. And even if you want to buy a fellow Aussie that you know, a gift card if you're in international right now, who knows? Everyone knows an Aussie, don't they?
I'd say so. We get around.
Fairly certain. Anyway. Thank you, beautiful soul, for being here. Thank you for sharing your time with me. I look forward to reconnecting with you soon.
Can't wait.
You get back up this way.
I know. It needs to happen ASAP. It's too cold in Melbourne. My child, I need to be in hot areas.
Well, you are. You've just got to get through this phase and then True. You'll be back.
Thanks so much, Annie. Such a pleasure. You too.
Mwah. Bye.
Bye.